You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, the thing about the Federal Reserve, which wrapped up a two-day meeting today, is that they really, really, really don't want to surprise anybody. Not banks, not businesses, and not the markets. And that is why this, from Jay Powell at his usual end-of-meeting press conference this afternoon, is honestly the biggest takeaway.
We feel like the communications we have with market participants and with the general public are working, and that the financial conditions are reflecting in advance the decisions that we make.
Financial conditions. Remember, we talked about those. Anyway, everybody knows what the Fed's going to do. Raise interest rates. Start selling off the $9 trillion in securities it holds. Probably in March. But, of course, Powell did add his usual caveat.
It is not possible to predict with much confidence exactly what path for our policy rate is going to prove appropriate. And so at this time, we haven't made any decisions about the path of policy.
Well, they haven't made any decisions, but you know. All right, a couple other key items from the Fed chair today. Number one, the labor market. We are pretty close, Powell said, to full employment right now.
The thing about the labor market right now is that there are many millions of more job openings than there are unemployed people.
But also on the not-so-good side.
I would not say that I would expect the supply chain issues to be completely worked out by the end of this year. I do not expect them, and I have not expected them.
Markets, for all that Powell says the Fed's communication strategy is working, well, those market participants didn't much care for what he had to say today. The reminders that the Fed is going to do what the Fed said it is going to do. My guess, though, is that the chair is okay with that.
The ultimate focus that we have is on the real economy, maximum employment and price stability, and financial conditions matter to the extent that they have implications for achieving the dual mandate.
He didn't talk about it specifically today, but Jay Powell has said in the past that one of the many indicators that he and the Fed rely on to figure out what to do with this economy is a quarterly report called the Employment Cost Index, which, as it happens, comes out on Friday, day after tomorrow. It's based on a survey by the Bureau of Labor Statistics of more than 7,000 companies that adds up the total cost to those companies of having people work for them. Actual paychecks, of course. Also, though, their health insurance, retirement packages, other benefits, all broken out by occupation and various and sundry other parameters. A veritable cornucopia of data, one might say, that economists and others just love to dive into. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has our primer.
The Employment Cost Index becomes especially important at times like this, when wages are shooting up.
This time a year ago, UPS was paying $13.50 an hour for people to work the night shift.
Michael Gritton runs the workforce development agency Kentuckiana Works in Louisville, home to UPS's International Air Hub.
Now they're paying $21 an hour. That's a huge increase.
And that's not the only labor expense that's going up, says Frank Fiorelli at small business payroll processor Paychex.
Retirement plan or sign-on bonuses, they're just having to enhance their benefits just to keep up with the big guys.
The Employment Cost Index takes all that into account. Plus, it can tell us whose wages in which occupations are rising more and less. Former BLS Commissioner Erica Groshen says right now it's important to know who's benefiting from the tight labor market.
We know that over the past 30, 40 years, we've had big growth in wage inequality. If we see more wage gains amongst lower wage occupations, well, you're seeing a narrowing of inequality.
In the previous Employment Cost Index report for the third quarter of 2021, total compensation rose faster than at any point since the early 2000s. Claudia Somm is a former Fed economist, now at the Jain Family Institute.
Macroeconomists thinking about what the Federal Reserve should do, they look at a big wage increase number and get worried.
That worry, explains labor economist Michael Strain at the American Enterprise Institute, is that more employees will demand higher compensation, driving inflation.
You expect the stuff you want to buy is going to be more expensive. You go into your boss's office and ask for a raise, and so your employer raises the prices it charges its own customers, and you see a sustained rapid increase in wages and prices.
The dreaded wage price spiral. But Claudia Somm argues that the distribution of compensation gains more for low-wage and less for high-wage workers should temper inflation worries.
This economy looks really good to the vast majority of Americans. It is the case that prices have risen more quickly than in the past. Wages at the bottom have risen even more quickly.
She says this can be hard on small employers who are being outbid by bigger competitors. Sam says when labor costs go up, businesses don't have to raise their prices in lockstep. They have other options. They can get more productive, invest in automation and AI. They can reduce their profits. But Michael Strain says the compensation hikes that employers are offering to compete in this pandemic economy are worrisome.
When you're talking about wage increases of the magnitude that we're seeing, about 4.5%, businesses have a really hard time dealing with that without increasing the prices that they charge.
Even if Friday's reading on the employment cost index for the fourth quarter comes in high again, Claudia Sam won't see it as a sign of great danger.
Fed Chair Powell has talked about the high readings of the employment cost index as a risk, something they're watching, but they're not going to raise interest rates because wage growth is high. What they're looking for is it to spill over into consumer prices.
And how will we know when that's happening? Ask an economist. Ask three. You'll get at least five different answers. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.